Here's a picture of a raccoon carrying a kitty cat.
Is that cat alive?
Yeah.
All right.
And that raccoon's walking on 2 feet.
Yeah, that I knew.
Here's, what is that, a groundhog riding a bird?
I'm not sure what's, I mean, that'd have to be, groundhogs are, you know, they can
not
be
groundhog.
Kind of fat.
What are the little tiny ones? Field mice, whatever those
are
called.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
Chipmunks.
Yeah, okay. Chipmunks don't have tails. They're like squirrels without tails.
Then if you want pictures of pancakes or squirrels eating pancakes, I got a bunch on my phone of that, too.
Yeah, that's great.
I have a whole folder on my phone. It's just pancake squirrel. All right, we doing this?
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to keep pancake squirreling.
I do. What's up, bro? This is Movies On Up. I'm Dave, joined by the broiest bro I bro, Ryan.
What's up, brother?
We're just a couple of bros. I didn't do a tagline
that,
for this
is
week.
Is that the tagline? Just a couple of bros.
Yep, tagline for this week is just a couple of bros. It's
broing
not, it's
out.
It's not from a movie.
Broing it up, doing some real bro stuff. Brocasting. Dave's approaching being ready to start this episode.
The tagline for this week is, there are two sides to every family. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. That's two sides to every family. We are broing down this week. This is a very, very brotastic episode. The Entourage movie comes out this week. So my bro Ryan and I just decided, let's do our favorite bro movies, which...
Yes, this is what we decided.
Yes, and I realized by deciding, I had just put down on our calendar favorite bro movies without really any discussion of what that means.
No, I think we discussed it, and I think at the time I was like, yeah, what the hell? And here's the deal. When it got down to writing this list, I'm not certain that I really wanted to try and figure out exactly what the fuck a bro movie was. So here's what I did. I thought to myself, all right, self... Let's dive into the deep well of Entourage knowledge, which I possess. And I thought to myself, you've got your main character, whoever that kid is. And
then, Adrian Grenier.
Yep, that guy. And then you got Matt Dillon.
Johnny Drama.
Right. They're brothers. So I'm going to make a list of my five favorite movies about brothers. Bros.
I went with groups of dudes hanging out. So my movies are favorite
groups of dudes hanging
groups
out.
Of dudes hanging out. And I think that just goes to show you, in this life, when it comes to finding bros, bros can come in all shapes and sizes. They can be
any number.
Your fraternity bros. They could just be friends of bros. They can be
bros
biological
bros.
So there ain't no limit on bros. So without further ado, our top five favorite bro movies. Ryan, you're number five.
We've got a lot of bro action in my number five. It is about two bros, directed by two bros. It is the Duplass Bros from 2012, the Dodeca Pentathlon, starring Mark Kelly and Steve Zissou. Of all the offbeat stories that the Duplasses tell about relationship dynamics, this one to me feels pretty real. I don't know how they grew up, but I could kind of see where this may have been a little bit of a peek behind the curtain into what it might have been like growing up Duplass. Sibling rivalry on full display here is you've got two brothers who start the movie with a pretty fractured relationship. They try to reconcile by completing the 25-event competition from their childhood that, for whatever reason, shrouded in mystery, was not completed as they were kids. The characters come from pretty different, if not predictable, places. But the man boyishness of their behavior, very much out of the Duplass playbook. The challenges that they have are pretty silly. And the cost of completing them on a personal level, on a relationship level, seems to be even more ridiculous. Like, all right, you seeing what this is costing your family, it's probably a good idea to stop. But they're so hell-bent on finishing and finding out who is the better bro that they can't really seem to stop. It manages to kind of be over the top, you know, how seriously these guys take go-kart racing and ping pong and all this stuff, but yet still kind of manages to be somewhat understated, which I think is something that the Duplass brothers do well, is taking something that's outlandish, but somehow managing to tone it down. I don't know exactly how to describe it without using Duplass in the definition, but it's just, it's something that they do really, really well. It's offbeat, it's quirky, and they're a couple of bros.
Another good brother suggestion from the Duplass brothers is probably on your list later, so I won't say it now, but I can't wait to talk about it because I was hoping that's what it was when you mentioned this.
Nope.
My number five, from biological brothers to fraternity brothers, I'm going to 1994's PCU, starring Jeremy Piven, Chris Young, David Spade, Jon Favreau, Alex Desert, a lot of people. This was kind of the 90s attempt at, hey, let's make Animal House for a new generation. Animal House is another one that, it's one of my also-rans, but I put PCU on here just because it's talked about less than Animal House.
Because you're a hipster.
Animal House is an iconic classic, and PCU is a throwaway 90s comedy. But it's really good. It's actually pretty funny. Jeremy Piven, who stars in the Entourage movie coming up this week that I think everybody in the world is excited for and can't wait. This is a good Piven role. He's just an old college dude living in a frat house. It's your typical, stereotypical, what everybody assumes frats are. That's what this is. Jon Favreau pre-weight loss is pretty funny. George Clinton and the Funkadelic make an appearance. It has its moments. It's definitely got some good jokes in this movie. But yeah, it's about fraternity bros.
Maybe if I really wanted to delve into it, the fraternity bros might have been a good place to start looking for movies. I mean, obviously you've got the nerds flicks, which I really do enjoy. Porky's. There's a lot of fertile ground.
Meatballs.
Yeah, Meatballs. There's a newer flick about some fraternity bros living next door to some folks.
Neighbors.
Yeah, that one I like a lot. Probably would have made the list. And starring like a little bro, I love me some Dave Franco. He's really good in that too, with Zac Efron. They're both handsome young devils. My number four is a movie that stars two bros. They don't play bros in the movie. They play bros in the movie. It is from 1996. It is Wes Anderson's Bottle Rocket, starring Luke and Owen Wilson and Bobby Musgrave. Perhaps I'm cheating a little bit here. Like I said, Anthony and Dignan aren't exactly brothers, but they act like it's the brothers Wilson, who have been mainstays in Anderson joints really since this one, the first of the Wes Anderson flicks. Now, granted, we have the benefit of like 20 years under our belts at this point and many more films to kind of realize what a Wes Anderson movie, what it feels like. In 1996, when this came out, there wasn't anything else like it. I mentioned with the Duplass brothers, you know, it's quirky and it's offbeat. Wes Anderson might be the godfather of quirky and offbeat. The premise that you have these three guys that are underqualified criminals bumbling their way through some robberies, that's not really unique. But the quirks that these characters have, really, that's what sets it apart. That's what makes it a Wes Anderson movie, is the fact that Dignan has this, like, it's like a 47-year plan or something that's so detailed, and he busts it out so often during the movie. Like, all these characters are just so strange, but consistently strange in their own ways. I'm not the biggest Owen Wilson fan. He tends to get on my nerves. But, I mean, he has a co-writing credit on this movie, and I think that Wes Anderson, and you know, with the help of Owen Wilson, could write really great roles for him. I think he's fantastic in this, very good in Tannenbaum's. Like, I can take Owen Wilson in a Wes Anderson movie because he's like the living embodiment of what I feel like a Wes Anderson character is.
He is, and Dignan to this day is one of my favorite movie characters ever.
Favorite role of his, hands down.
Oh, without a doubt. After Bottle Rocket, I was a big Owen Wilson fan. Like, I wanted to seek out every Owen Wilson movie. Wedding Crashers kind of killed my Owen Wilson and my Vince Vaughn obsession. So, killed two birds with one stone in that one. What's funny, you mentioned that stars two Wilson brothers not playing brothers. There's a third Wilson brother in it who is playing a brother to neither one of those guys. Right. Future Man is played by the old, I think it's Andrew Wilson, the older Wilson brother, and he's playing Bob's brother in the movie. So you have three Wilson brothers not playing any relations. To this day, that's my favorite Wes Anderson movie. Depending on what day you ask me, it's between this and Rushmore. When Wes Anderson movies still felt unique, I think this one probably takes the cake because it, even now compared to Wes Anderson movies, it still feels unique compared to other Wes Anderson movies. It's still got all the Wes Anderson stuff just dialed back a little bit. Yeah, he'll never top it for me. Like his last couple I could do without. I liked everything up until Darjeeling, which I liked Darjeeling, but I haven't really liked anything since. But Bottle Rocket will never be top. That's such a good movie, and Dignan's one of my favorite characters ever. My number four from 2009, it's The Hangover. This might be a cliche answer, but movie about a group of dudes that go for a bachelor party. Like, other movies that came to mind was like Very Bad Things, because in the mindset I'm thinking like, okay, fraternity. So I got PCU, Animal House. I went with PCU. I thought of
Bachelor Party.
Bachelor Party.
You had Bachelor Party and The Hangover.
And The Hangover and The Hangover 2. And there's a bunch of Bachelor Party movies that I legit love. The first Hangover. This is one of the cases that I don't let happen to me a lot where unwanted sequels put a bad taste in my mouth about the original. I have no interest in Hangover 2 or 3, but Hangover 1 is I think it's a fantastic comedy. I mean, I've been a giant Zach Galifianakis fan for a long time, ever since Late World with Zach on VH1. So maybe I was drawn to it because it was kind of him becoming a movie star, which I never thought I would see. I've always liked Bradley Cooper, and this was kind of his hello party. This kind of put him up a new level. And it's really funny. It's got really good jokes in it. And it is that relationship. You have Doug and Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms are good friends, and then you have Zach Galifianakis, who's just kind of there by proxy. And it does have its good jokes. I don't need to see those jokes for three movies, but for one standalone movie, I really, really liked it.
I haven't let the sequels give me a bad taste in my mouth for this, because I haven't watched any of the sequels. I saw the first one, and I thought, okay, I see what you're doing here. It's okay. I mean, it's funny, but it didn't impact me the same way that it seemed to impact everyone else in the world when that movie came out. I mean, for an R-rated comedy to make $220-some million, that was unthinkable. And then Hangover 2 made $300 million. Like, holy shit, where is the cap? Turns out it's Hangover 2 with $300 million. And hopefully that's about all we get. My number three is not necessarily a comedy, though it has some pretty funny lines in it. I'm kind of double dipping on the bros. I've got one set of bros, and then I have a bro and a sister. But the sister has a bro, so that counts. It is from 1996, directed by Robert Rodriguez. It's From Dusk Till Dawn, starring George Clooney, Quentin Tarantino, Harvey Keitel. When you think about this movie, I think the first, you know, the bros that come to mind are the Gecko brothers, Clooney and Quentin Tarantino. But I think Juliette Lewis and Ernest Liu do a pretty decent job of adding a little bit more depth to the family dynamic there. I think it's a really, really entertaining action horror flick, which Robert Rodriguez has had a really interesting career, especially here stateside, from making the Mariachi trilogy to doing this, doing the Spy Kids thing. Like, he's really all over the place. But this is particularly how I like my Robert Rodriguez. I love it when it's over the top, when it's gory as hell. I love Planet Terror. I unabashedly love Machete. And we get a little taste of Machete here in From Dusk Till Dawn. It was one of those movies that late middle school, like 7th or 8th grade, it was the movie that none of us were allowed to see, but somehow we all found our way to it and were able to see it. I can remember like hanging out with a bunch of guys from the basketball team. Bros, you know, just broing out, working on free throws, and watching From Dusk Till Dawn and reciting the Cheech Marin speech about all the kinds of women that they have at this brothel. I thought the effects were pretty good. The scene where Selma Hayek actually turns into a vampire, I mean, I think it's a really cool scene, the way it's done, the way it's played. And then the next thing you know, you've got an entire bar full of vampires.
Especially if you go into the movie blind.
Yeah, if you don't know it's a vampire movie.
If you don't know, it's just, it's a kidnapping movie.
Right.
It's, and
it turns out it starts as a bank robbery movie and it ends in a completely different place.
Yeah.
And Tom Savini with a gun penis. That's great, too.
And Fred Williamson in it. It's the perfect culmination of a Quentin Tarantino movie and a Robert Rodriguez movie. It's like those two dudes are made to work together. And this has everything you love about either one of their movies all in one. My number three, we're going to stick on the horror tip. I did Frats. I did Bachelor Party. I thought, okay, group of guys going on like a retreat, like a vacation. First one that came to mind was World's End, but we've done a whole episode on World's End, and I brought it up any chance I can get. So I went with another British horror sci-fi comedy movie, 2009's Doghouse. It stars Danny Dyer and Noel Clark, who are two of my favorite British actors. This movie, it's basically just a group of guys go off to this remote village to help one of the dudes get over his divorce. But when they get there, it turns out that there's been some virus and all the women have become flesh-hungry zombies. So it's basically just this group of guys fighting these zombie women. And it's so ridiculous. It's, one has an axe. I mean, like, the women are just, they're not just women that have turned into zombies. Like, the different types of them have characters. It's not a woman-hating movie, despite all the women being cannibals and everything. It's just, it's really funny. And Danny Dyer is, I like Danny Dyer a lot. Noel Clark, I like a lot. It's really joke-heavy. It's a great British horror movie. Like, I like Severance, another Danny Dyer movie. It's got that kind of feel to it, to where it's, the horror's legit. It's a legit horror movie, but it's also a legit comedy and very, very funny.
My number two is a movie that you desperately wanted to talk about earlier. It comes right before a movie that you will desperately want to talk about as my number one. But had it not been for my number one, this would easily be my favorite movie on the list. It is another Duplass Brothers movie. It is Jeff Who Lives at Home, starring Jason Segel, Ed Helms, Susan Sarandon. You have more of the inner dynamic with the bro-bro relationship. But I think that it's an interesting contrast from Dodeca. I don't know that they necessarily are companion films and you need to watch one to enjoy the other. But you have in Dodeca, the brother that kind of has his shit together is, you know, the one you sort of sympathize with. In this one, not at all. Helms is the one that has seemingly has his life together, but he's an asshole. And he's kind of an asshole throughout the entire movie, which is a huge departure from the roles that Ed Helms usually plays. And he carries it off wonderfully. I don't know that it's much of a stretch for Segel to play kind of this,
a Jason Segel-like character.
Yeah, exactly. Who's basically just progressing through life looking for what he believes to be signs from the above. So much so that he just quite literally begins on a mission to get wood glue, I believe. And he ends up through a ridiculous string of events, mostly involving the name Kevin. He ends up finding his brother and then helping him decide whether or not his wife is a giant hussy. It has really, really funny moments to it, but it also has some really impactful moments. One of my favorite ones is, I feel like it's almost right at the end of the second act when they bust in the hotel room and they finally catch this bitch. My gosh, that scene is really tremendous.
That hotel scene is one of my favorite scenes in any movie ever, because Judy Greer is so good in this. And
as the hussy.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
And what's scary about the Duplass brothers is they are so good at realism that sometimes it doesn't feel like you're watching a movie. It feels like you're watching these people's lives. And
it's got an episode of Maury.
Yeah, this movie is like that. I know who Ed Helms is. I know who Judy Greer is, but it's so believable. And, you know, you can replace them with any two people. Just guy who feels like he's losing his wife and she might be cheating on him. And, oh, he might be catching her cheating on him. Like, you feel it. Yes, I know it's not real, but I know that there's people that have been in this situation. And it, the way it's dealt with is so real. And the Duplass brothers, if they know one thing, it's heart. They know quirk and they know heart.
Yeah.
And this movie has all of it. It goes where you don't expect it to. Like in that third act.
Yeah.
I don't think you're guessing where it goes. but it fits.
But it has, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned heart. Again, not to compare and contrast the two, but the ending of Dodeca is nowhere near as kind of satisfying as Jeff, who lives at home. And really, they both are about, you know, brothers trying to, you know, reconcile with each other. They're both sets are very different, but somehow, you know, they have to at least realize that the other one's not a complete asshole. And I don't think it's just completely the difference between the pairs of actors that you have. I mean, obviously, I think Siegel and Ed Helms are much better than Kelly and crew in Dodeca, but I think the story is a little more meat on the bones there. And I think the Duplass brothers they make really good movies, but I don't know that they're necessarily movies for everybody. This might be their most accessible flick.
This is their most accessible, and even it's a little out there. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like their stuff's not for everybody because it almost is too real. They had Togetherness. It was on HBO. I love it. It's funny. It's great. I had to stop watching it because it felt too real, and I felt like I was watching these people that I cared about's marriage fall apart. It's just like I had to stop watching because it felt so real, and I'm a giant Duplass Brothers fan, so I get somebody who's not invested in them not even wanting to try it, but it's the only one I could think of that was actually wide-released and marketed because their movies are very, very niche. I thought that would change after this, but they haven't really followed it up with anything major. My number two, I've had a theme. I went for fraternity movies, bachelor party movies, guys going away. Then I thought, okay, what about just a group of bros performing terrorist acts? Fight Club. Fight Club is like the quintessential guy movie, so it was hard to leave it off when I'm thinking of a group of
bros,
men, a group of guys hanging out.
Doing bro stuff.
Yeah.
Punching each other in the face.
Yeah, this is a very, very guy movie about a bunch of guys hanging out trying to change the world, which really isn't that what we all want to do, is just change
every,
the world.
Every gathering of bros, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, you know, do what we can to make this world a better place, and that's what they do in Fight Club.
Maybe they're misguided.
Maybe they just have a different approach than I would.
Sure.
But I don't have to sit here and tell you how good of a movie Fight Club
is.
Because
I don't think you're allowed, actually.
Yeah,
it's the first rule of Fight Club.
Those rules have passed.
There
was a moratorium on those rules. It only lasted a couple of years.
That was the second rule that they don't really talk about as much. It was like, well, this expires in 15 years.
It's just a good movie, and it's a very testosterone-heavy movie, which I generally am not super into because I am in touch with my softer side. It's a good movie. I mean, I'm not breaking news when I say that, hey, Fight Club's pretty decently made. So I'll just leave it at that.
I may be breaking news with my number one. It's a movie we've talked about before, and we've extolled its virtues to the nth degree. But I still feel like there are people around that don't know about this movie. And it is about bros, the broiest of bros, actual brothers, punching each other in the face. It is Gavin O'Connor's Warrior from 2011, starring
Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton.
Two guys that Dave would love to be bros with, Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton, and Nick Nolte. Let us not forget, you have an athletic competition between bros, much like my first movie, Dodeca Pentathlon. They're, you know, that's an athletic competition, but they're not punching each other in the face. This one's just kind of taking that to the extreme. To further the comparisons, you have one brother who's kind of got the family and he sort of has his shit together, and the other one, not the most well-adjusted dude after his time in the service. So you have two brothers that seemingly their lives have taken divergent paths through the woods of, you know, whatever that poem was about. There's a fork in the woods, and one of them leads to going to Afghanistan, and the other leads to losing your teaching job from fighting in an MMA thing in a parking lot of a titty bar. Both the leads are incredible, absolutely incredible, and the scenes, it didn't feel like there were enough. Because Nolte and Hardy on the screen at the same time, it's so fucking heavy. This movie, I think on its surface, people might just think it's an MMA movie, and I don't like boxing or I don't like fighting, so I don't give a shit. You really couldn't be more wrong. Sure, there is some of that in there.
There's a lot of that in there.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a lot more to it.
Absolutely. It's
a people story.
It is. It just so happens that
these people punch each other.
Right. That's what they do. That's what they know how to do. but for many of the reasons that I love boxing movies, because those, the best boxing movies, I think, are really people stories. And they're people that they're not boxing just because they want to. It seems that there's something more behind it. There's a bit of a desperation behind it. And both of these brothers obviously are desperate, but for different reasons. There's not necessarily an antagonist in the movie. You can be Team Tom or Team Joel, but when they eventually have to fight each other, it is kind of incredible because you really don't want them to do it.
You don't want them to, and you're not led to skew one way or the other. Generally, in these kind of movies, you kind of have an idea who you want to win and
you're
who
not
will
rooting
win.
For Ivan Drago.
Yeah. In this one, like, you go into that last fight and you have no idea who's going to... I mean, you have a 50-50 chance of guessing it, but there's no way to know with certainty who's going to win. The movie builds them up equally and builds the stakes equally, and it's just so beautifully acted. It's for a punch in the face movie. Like, it's gorgeously acted. Edgerton and Tom Hardy, I think, are two of the best working dudes out there right now, and this movie shows it. Like, with Hardy, you mentioned the scenes with him and Nolte. Like, Hardy is such an electric actor that he can work with great actors and raise them up better than they're used to, and then he'll raise up to match them. Like, the drop with him and Gandolfini, just to see him act with other phenomenal actors is something to behold, and this movie has a lot of that. And I mean, he doesn't have many lines in the movie, but
he's the man that lets his fists do the talking.
He's still very, very good, and this is a very, very good movie. You get the bro approval on
it's
that.
It's my number one movie, bro movie.
My number one bro movie.
Round up some bros and watch Warrior.
My number one, I had all these other things, and I thought, okay, what's a great movie about male friendship? As you see so many versions of it on screen, and some of it just kind of, it doesn't feel genuine, or I cringe at it. And my buddy Tony and I, we write projects all the time, and we cannot write something without referencing my number one movie, because it's always our go-to for male friendship and what male friendship is about. And it might seem weird with that kind of buildup, but it is 2007's Superbad, directed by Greg Mottola, written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, two lifelong friends, started writing it when they were in high school. The relationship between Jonah Hill and Michael Cera's character, and between Michael Cera and McLovin, and then how the three of them interact, it's so genuine and real, because you have Jonah Hill, who loves his friend Michael Cera and wants him to himself, and he can't accept that, like, okay, McLovin can come along, but it doesn't mean he has to like him. It's so good because it's not just a good movie about high school friendship. It's a fantastic movie about high school friendship, but I feel like that kind of friendship, guys can have your ups and downs in the matter of 2 or 3 hours. Like my friend Nick and I, when we were going out all the time, there'd be an hour span where we're not talking to each other because we're so angry at each other. But then an hour later, his car breaks down and needs a ride, and I'm right there. Nothing else matters, and you have those ups and downs here where just in the course of one night, there's times where they just genuinely don't like each other, but in the end, they're in love with each other. This movie doesn't shy away from that. A lot of movies shy, because it is. Like, with good friendship, like, there is love there. And whether it's not a manly thing to admit that there's love there, like...
I mean, to tell you it's not.
Yeah, see? So I'm in touch with my softer side, so I can say that I love my friends.
I'll be the emotional police here. That'll be enough of this, Dave.
You see that love there. They fight at the party, and then you have Jonah Hill carrying Michael Cera away just to protect him.
Like an officer and a gentleman.
Yeah, and then you have the Hater and Rogan characters and so eager to be liked. And I haven't even mentioned that it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. I have never laughed harder at a theater-going experience than with this. The party scene with Carla Gallo after she dances with him and they notice something on his pants. That's one of the funniest moments I've ever seen in a movie, because that first time you see it, when you're realizing what it is at the same time the character is, in a theater full of people, because I saw it opening night and the theater was packed. Like, this movie was a hit out of nowhere. It was just a great movie-going experience because it's nonstop hilarity, but there's a lot of heart that's kind of hidden. It's right there in the front, but it's so funny that most people might walk away thinking, like, oh, that movie's hilarious, and not really think about, like, oh, that's genuinely, like, a heartfelt movie. So this is like my go-to movie for male friendship because I feel like it's one of the best on-screen portrayals of genuine male friendship ever.
And I think that the two actors specifically are not necessarily the most broiest, the most masculine of bros, so it doesn't hurt their street cred to bro it up in that fashion. Definitely an interesting list. I'm sure there'll be another bro movie that comes out. They have a tendency to do that. And maybe if and when it does, we'll switch. You do your top five about actual brothers, and I can do a top five about bros, because it seems like that's a list that on either one we could have left out a ton. And I'm sure we did leave out an absolute ton.
This is the hardest. I mean, the lists where there's no, like,
no boundaries, kind of?
No boundaries. Like, I know I missed some. You mentioned one right before our list.
Four brothers.
That's it. Four brothers. Like, that's one that could have been on there. You know, you mentioned the Nerds and Meatballs and Porky's. And those didn't even cross my mind. Like,
Ted.
Would
have been a great
There's
one.
So many that it's such so wide. So I know I missed some. Because my also-rans, I mentioned them already. I know I've missed some. Like
Goonies, Stand By Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those would work as well.
Kings of Summer. I like that one a lot.
Kings of Summer is a good one. Yeah, like there's plenty of them that I missed just off top of our heads. So what are your favorite bro movies?
Brother movies, whatever.
Yeah, let us know. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, or Twitter @MoviesOnUp, maybe. I never remember which ones I do.
The trick is just do them in the same order the entire time.
And I think the number one important thing to take out of this week's episode is everybody go see the Entourage movie because it's probably the most important movie ever made. The world's a better place. If this all those opening week records, let's top them with Entourage.
So that we can get the Entourage sequel that they've already kind
of. And then hopefully eventually get the Entourage Sex and the City mashup because they're all in the
Sexourage.
Same. They're all in the same movie universe.
Like Marvel.
Yes. The HBO movie universe. So go see Entourage.
Will they do a mashup with Game of Thrones? Because then I would be interested.
I would like to see all those dudes get their heads cut off. But until next week when we have another fantastic episode of Movies on Up, keep it bro and
keep it up.